Hi, welcome to episode 2. I'm Hannah.
I'm Jo.
And I'm Nikki. So this episode we're going to talk about where we went this weekend. We've just got back from Newark Showground. We went with our team, Conway Flyball, and we were competing at Junkyard Dogs competition at
Newark. Do you know, Hannah bought me some watermelon to have for the gym.
Yes, she did. There's a picture of it, isn't there?
There is a picture of it, yeah.
Yes. Yes, so you and your watermelon. And there were people actually coming to us, weren't there? At the competition saying, oh, have you got your watermelon? So a shout out to all the people that listened to the first podcast and that saw us that weekend. We also need to give a shout out to Lottie in Adelaide in Australia. Jo, you're looking at me really strangely. Sam and Howard's niece.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yes, so I think
Auntie
she's
Sam and Auntie Howard.
Auntie Sam, who is Auntie Howard. and poor Howard gets so much
poor
grief,
Howard,
doesn't he? I think she is the furthest away person that has listened to our podcast so far in Australia.
Yeah. Unless you know any different.
And if you're listening from Australia, drop us a message.
But thanks to everyone for listening. Like, we've had so many different countries, so many people listen. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do. And
it's good fun.
It is good fun.
Raise the profile, aren't we, of flyball?
And that's essentially what we're looking to do,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah. Let's just talk flyball. All the things that you've wanted to question, you want to get into flyball. We'll have a listen, see what you think, and then we'll leave the details at the end of the podcast for you to contact and find yourself a team.
Yeah, definitely. If you're not already flyballing and you're in the UK, there's so many different ways that you can get into flyball, whether you want to do it competitively or just for fun. Mm-hmm. So this weekend we went to Newark and I travelled with Louise and the cockapoo owner, and you two travelled together, didn't you?
Yeah,
me and Hannah travelled together.
With your watermelon.
I don't think I'd have actually made it there without Hannah, because she's very good for directions.
Would not have made it there without me.
But you got there safely.
Yeah, we had quite a few debates, didn't we, about whether it was saying straight on or whether it was saying come off. No, it's definitely saying straight on, Jo.
Well, yeah, you got there before us, didn't you? Before Lou and I got there.
So Louise had to wait. What we call the dolman up, which is a Coleman, but a cheaper version. Yeah. So we'd put that up when you arrived, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we'd put Hannah's tent up.
Yes.
Yeah, and we were in the middle.
Which is a proper Coleman.
Yeah.
Which is a proper Coleman. Yeah, because we got this knockoff Coleman, didn't we?
From one of the well-known supermarkets.
Yeah, in their half price / 80% off sale. And so we nicknamed it, I think it was your idea, Jo, because we were like, well, we can't call it the Coleman. And Jo said, let's call it the Dolman. But the problem is we then got new members that joined who thought it was actually called a Dolman.
They're like, I can't find these on the internet. Where have you had it from?
Yeah, it's actually from the well-known supermarket. Yeah, every little helps.
That's the wrong one.
Oh, is it? I don't know what the slogan is then.
I don't know.
Do we need to tap our bums?
And I work there. Yes, we do.
We need
to
tap our bums.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, a little tap our bums. Now, Hannah's looking at us very strangely. So we got there. And halfway there, Louise said to me, because we went in my van, and Louise put a tent in my van, and we put everything in. She said, I'm not sure whether I've got all my poles. I said, what do you mean you're not sure whether you got all your poles? She said, well, when I left this morning, when I put my tent away, downstairs, there were some spare poles on the floor and I just wondered what they were from. I said, so did you bring them? No. All right. So, but surely you'd know. When did you last put your tent up? Well, I put it up last September after we'd come home from the last competition that we camped at. I said, well, did you have all the poles then? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, we got there, and sure enough, she hadn't got any poles in her bag. Well, she had one pole, didn't she?
She had two poles.
Oh, okay, two poles.
So we debated whether to put one at the front and one at the middle, and then tuck the rest in. But we thought if the wind, which actually, the wind did come up, didn't it? So she'd have blown away.
Yeah.
So we decided to stick her in my porch, which luckily is quite large, isn't it?
That's a euphemism. Yes, Joe and her large porch.
Me and my large porch. Oh, so God. Lou announced today, so figured out why I only had two poles. The other one split when I had it up in the garden. So she's ordered some new tent poles for the next competition.
Oh, good.
But I can't understand how you'd forget that your poles split. So Lou's name is Samantha Louise Owen, so she always says, doesn't she, that slow by name, slow by nature.
SLO,
so,
yeah.
So we've renamed her. So her name now should be Frida Olivia, Rachel Georgia, Emily Tracy, Florence Ursula Louise, which have the initials forgetful. So she's forever going to be Frida.
Frida. Yeah.
Bless her.
Yeah, Frida, short for forgetful. Yeah, bless her. So, yeah, so she ended up in your porch the
she
whole
did.
Weekend,
she
which
did.
Is now going to have so many connotations to it. Yeah, so
and Honey was in my porch too.
Honey was in your porch, yeah. Yes. You had a party in there. But yeah, so we were putting, we just realised Lou's tent didn't have enough poles, and so we were sat in the dolman, and if Coleman want to donate a proper Coleman to us, that would be amazing.
That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
It would be lovely. But unlikely, we're probably not even going to get a dolman, are we?
Because Coleman really are the creme de la creme of daytime marquee type sitting
yeah.
around.
Yeah,
daytime
marquee sitting around. We don't do much of that, do we?
No.
But yeah, so we were sat in the dolman and it was dark at this point and we heard this, it was just a really loud bang, wasn't it? And it just sounded like something had exploded, and there's a lot of people there, and a lot of them have caravans and generators, etc., and gas bottles. And my first fear was, actually, you know, this is a gas bottle that's exploded. I hope no dogs are injured. Mm. I mean, people would be all right with, but dogs. I hope no dogs got injured. But it, you know, it did almost sound a bit like a gunshot as
it did
well,
sound
didn't
like
it?
A gunshot. So the funny thing was, the first thing we did is all got up and walked
yeah.
towards where
yeah.
the gunshot
well, ran
was.
Outside basically.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. We yeah. are very nosy though, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, very nosy.
Yeah. So yeah, and we realised it'd come from the Stormy's direction,
it
hadn't
had.
It? Storm Chasers, who were competing at Crufts this year. So it had
yeah.
come from their caravans. And we then thought, oh, maybe someone shot Daryl, who's married to the captain, Vicky, who we mentioned in the last podcast. And we thought, you know, maybe if Daryl's been shot, # who shot Daryl?
find out in the next episode.
Yeah, but by the time we got there, it was quite benign, the situation, wasn't it?
Yeah,
just
they'd
some...
removed the body and everything. Yeah. Made out like nothing had happened,
yeah.
really.
I know, yeah. And then all of a sudden there was like a patio built outside. Vicky was last seen with a spade in the patio. Not seen Daryl in ages, though. # who shot Daryl. But yeah, so we've had a really good weekend. Really good weekend. First big competition of the season. Like, we did Livewires, didn't we?
We
in
did.
February.
We
so
did.
Essentially, that was the first big competition. But this was the first one that we travelled any sort of distance to, and it was Newark. Really good, really successful for us. We mm-hmm. synced, didn't we, Joe? Do you want to talk to us about syncing?
We did sync. So we had a 4-dog team, one of which has just changed from turning right to turning left. So we didn't want to throw him at the deep end, having to jump over a height of 11. So we thought if we have a spare dog, we would help him out. And then he, because the spare dog, luckily, was also a height dog, which means that we could bring the jumps down to the height of the smallest dog, which was Ozzy. So he was 9, was he?
He was 9. Yeah. So Freya running Ozzy.
Yeah,
brilliant.
So we were able to jump run over 9, which was great. So Mabs ran. He ran every leg, didn't he? And he was great.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is, yeah, so a sync dog essentially can run with a team that they're not a member of. Just for the day, just for a couple of races. So it's, so that's what we did on the weekend. We had a sync team.
Yeah, and it allows all the dogs running in that team to gain points as they would if their own team were running, but the team itself can't generate a new seed time with a sync dog in. So if you run as a sync team, so that's one of the rules of UKFL. BFA, you can't sync. Although I do believe there's a new rule change proposal that's gone through for the AGM?
There is, because at the moment you can sync, but if you do, you can't then run with another team for 6 months, can you?
Something along those lines, yeah. You can
almost
sync.
Like you've joined.
Yes.
And if you can't, yeah.
Yeah, there are some time restrictions with BFA, whereas with UKFL, you can sync with another team. But yeah, it was really successful. Hannah was our box loader extraordinaire, as usual, weren't you, Hannah? Do you want to talk to us about your experiences over the weekend?
Apart from that leg, obviously.
The disastrous
that
leg.
Yeah, that leg was very eventful.
Talk to us about that leg then.
Hang on, did I just say not that leg?
No. Talk to us about that leg.
So we had Harper out in that race. So we had Aura, Ozzy, Mabs and Lola running. So Aura came down and she didn't get a ball for whatever reason. Went back, Ozzy came down, and then all of a sudden, Aura's coming down again. Mabs is right behind her.
Honestly, I think she overtook Mabs in the lane, didn't she?
So instead of, you know, doing what a normal box loader would do, I shut my eyes and I prayed that nothing bad would happen. it was just carnage, that leg.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, Nikki is not going to be happy. And all I could see was her tapping her foot at the end.
stood at the end,
shaking her head. Yeah. She was not happy.
Well, we'd always had the plan, hadn't we, Joe, that I'd sit out the first two or three legs with Harper.
Yeah.
You'd run, so it was each race was five legs. So in order to give the dogs a break and also to give the dogs chance to all have a fair share at running, so we'd take it in turns to sit out. And we knew Lola wasn't doing the last race, so we said Harper and Aura could share sitting out this one race. And initially, I warmed up with everybody and I said, right, I'm just going to stand at the back with Harper and watch you get on with it. And just before they started, it went through my head, I hope they're all right. I hope they know what they're doing. I haven't briefed them. Not that I'm controlling.
In hindsight, do you know what we should have done?
Go on.
We should have had someone else hold Harper and then you come and
Louise hold, yeah.
Yeah, just someone hold Harper and then you could have come forward. I wouldn't have messed my start up. Obviously, that was your fault.
Oh, how was that my fault?
And then I wouldn't have let... Well, Laura still would have run down, wouldn't she? Because I didn't actually... Because she had no ball, because that is her reward, her ball. So she'd come to me and I'd gone, oh, where's your ball? And she'd gone, oh,
yeah,
where's my ball? So she'd run back down.
Yeah, so she was... The whole carnage was just created by Harper trying... Not Harper, sorry, Aura
That's
trying
right,
to be...
Harper, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, nice try. Nice try. The whole thing was all created by Aura just trying to be a good girl, wasn't it?
She
knew that she needed to get that ball. But unfortunately, Joe didn't have hold of her before Aura realised, oh no, I need that ball. And so then went back down the lane. And I was stood there thinking, brilliant. Absolutely. The one leg I sit out on and it all goes to...
These things happen more often than you'd think, though.
they absolutely do, though, don't they? And and it just goes to show that it can go horribly wrong still, but still end up fine. So it can go horribly wrong, but still end up fine.
Because we went our div, didn't we? Which is
we did.
Which is great.
Yeah, we won the division overall.
Yep.
And so we came away with the first, which was really, really good. Weather was torrential, though, wasn't it?
It really was. We were waiting to race, weren't we? And all of a sudden you heard a rumble of thunder and then a flash of lightning. Mm. And then I was going to wait outside because Aura, I don't know if you've noticed, she's quite loud. So I didn't want to go and wait inside because obviously she's quite noisy. So I thought I'd wait outside, but then it really started chucking it down. So I went inside.
Yeah.
And then the heavens opened.
Yeah.
And then Hannah and Lou went...
Let's go shut the dolman.
Yeah, you did.
The dogs were inside. So if you want to see any of these videos from the weekend, go give the Flying Dogs podcast TikTok a follow.
Yes, Hannah, will you post that carnage leg?
So what we can do,
oh, please do.
Yes. This is how Joe flyballs. So we could post a leg where it all went really well.
Yeah,
and then we could post.
Is that the one I didn't run in?
No, you ran in that one. You ran in that one.
Oh, just a colour or a different colour, so it really wasn't her.
That was the only mistake she made all weekend. She was a good girl.
It was.
But yeah, so we can post a good race, And then
how not to do it.
But equally, it still was okay. And I vividly remember dogs everywhere, and the judge Tom stood there and just looked at me as if to go, right, what on earth is your team doing? And then he said, would you like any of them to run? And Louise was like, no, we'll just get. And I went, yes, all of them rerun, every single one of them, everything. not that I'm controlling. Or a control freak, am I not?
Yeah, you are. She is.
but look what happens when I don't.
I know, that's don't do true. It again.
No.
Don't leave us high and dry.
No.
Well, no. And I like to volunteer people, don't I, Hannah?
Mm. Oh, wouldn't we know?
So I overheard Nikki having a conversation with the captain of another team who was short of a box load for one particular race.
And this was on the Sunday after we'd finished,
wasn't
it? That's
right. So we were due to go home. So we thought, right, I think it was race 12, was it? So Nikki calculated it should be about half nine before when race 12's on. So we'll only be delaying ourselves by an hour, you know, travelling home. So while she's having the conversation, I'm thinking, she's volunteering herself to box load. Now, Nikki doesn't box load.
I don't.
Nikki doesn't. She can't box load.
I'm rubbish. Self-appreciation in so much as I am so aware that I am absolutely atrocious at it.
You forget to put the ball in, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And forgets what the dog's names are.
Yep.
So before Nikki had even finished the conversation with this captain, I went over to Hannah and said, I think you box loaded in the morning. Which was the case. Although, was it, when did he ask her Sunday morning?
Well, no, she'd actually asked me a week before. And I'd forgotten to... Did you not know that?
No. That's even worse!
Yeah, she asked me a week before. I volunteered. Sorry.
So, Sunday morning, I found out I was box loading for another team. Usually it wouldn't bother me, but I hadn't slept Friday night or Saturday night. And I had a face like a slap cow whole day.
You so did. I've never known you be so
cranky,
cranky, and yeah, just like you're
like
not
a teenager.
Yeah, she was, wasn't she? Yeah, she was almost like I was her mum, and she was really cross with me, and nothing I did was going to break her out of it. And I was trying everything, wasn't I? And every time I tried to hug her, she'd just scowl at me.
Yeah. If you want to see them photos, they'll be on TikTok as well.
I was like, Hannah, I love you. Get off me. What's the matter? Nothing.
Yeah. Nikki then proceeds to say, I'll box load. I said, do you want to give them a chance of winning or not?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, if I box loaded, it would be terrible. But if anyone else wants me to box load, then Hannah is very willing.
Make sure to ask, is Hannah okay with this?
Yeah, it was good. So Newark provided a really good opportunity because who we wanted to speak to is somebody, our first guest speaker, is somebody who many people within Flyball, within the UK, especially within the UK, but actually abroad as well, people know who she is. She was selected to judge at the very highest level this year as a Flyball judge at Crufts 2025. And I am not alone in saying she did an absolutely outstanding job.
She really did.
Absolutely brilliant. So she was the epitome of what you would expect a judge within Flyball to behave like and to conduct herself, and she was just brilliant. What she doesn't know about Flyball is not worth knowing. So without further ado, we'll go over to that. What I will do first though is apologize for any of the background noise. It was at the competition. Now we did it in the evening and there was a litter of beautiful Border Whippet puppies that were being played with within the ring, just to introduce them at a very early age. So there's quite a bit of background chatter, but you have to expect that. It's a competition environment, so it's not particularly clean, the sound. However, you get the gist, and Cheryl was absolutely brilliant and really accommodating with us wanting to interview her at 9:30 at night of her big first show of the year. She's tired, but she was great. So I hope you enjoy listening to what Cheryl has to say, and we will speak to you soon.
Okay, so today we are interviewing Cheryl Quinn, who is the, what some people may describe as the royalty of Flyball. but who was the Crufts judge this year, 2025, the Crufts judge. So we thought we'd start big. And then anyone else that we can get would be great. So what we'd like to know is, how did you get into flyball?
Oh, gosh. So I got into flyball in about 2009 because I got a border collie, my first ever, like, dog independent of living with my mum and dad.
Okay.
First ever border collie, and thought, my God, this dog needs a job. So that is literally why I got into flyball.
Right.
So I was out walking my dog, saw a little sign on the walk saying, interested in flyball. There's a like a local team at Drax. And I was like, this dog needs a job. I can't tire this dog out, no matter walking, playing ball, throwing, which I know is a bad habit now, obviously. Dog needs a job. Give it a job.
Okay.
And that's how I found flyball.
Oh, right. Okay. So that was at Drax. So what team was that?
My first ever team was a team called Hillam Hot Dogs.
Okay. Hillam Hot Dogs.
Who no longer exist.
Right.
But that was my first ever team.
Oh, nice.
That was Millie who started my whole flyball journey. And okay. I lost her last year, so.
Oh, really?
Crufts was for that little girl.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. What dogs do you currently race?
Racing. So I've got 9 dogs in total.
Okay.
Blaze and Rio are both border collies that are retired. Ocean is due to retire at Anglesey.
Oh.
And then.
Is that going to be hard?
That's the hardest one, I think. I've got 6 others, which are some are border collies and some are border collie cross.
Okay. So I think did we use Blaze at you brought Blaze out to Stooge for one of our dogs, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so Blaze is retired now.
Oh, well, they've helped Conway actually.
Yeah, so she's 12, so she has retired last year.
Oh, bless her. So Anglesey's going to be quite emotional then, isn't it?
Yeah, don't talk to me, Anglesey. I'll be in bits, I think.
Okay, yeah,
Ocean was my first ever, like, top team.
Okay. Right.
Did a PB at Anglesey, got a club record at Anglesey, and that's why we're retiring at Anglesey.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Lovely. That's it. What's your favourite thing about flyball?
My favourite thing about flyball?
Can be anything.
I would think the relationship and the bond that you can build with your dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the training side, the fly ball. I enjoy racing, but I don't enjoy racing in the top team because it's far too stressful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh, right.
Take me out my A-team.
Oh, okay.
I don't like box loading.
No, I don't like that. I always forget to put the ball in.
And I'm really bad at it.
I'm terrible at it. Terrible.
So, yeah, I just get too busy watching and then think, no ball, no, sorry. But I like the community feel. I like the relationship I have with the entire team. I can't pick your family, but
yeah, you can pick your flyball family.
Pick that one.
Yeah,
no, that's what I like.
That's nice. Yeah, that's good. And you do have part of your actual family who you also chose as your husband on the team.
Well, it's yes, he is. he is. The ship's cap, as we like to call him. So he is responsible for all logistics. Whatever I need, he makes happen.
That's good.
He made all my jumps. He builds my boxes. Yeah.
So he's a good egg, really?
He is a good egg. Good. I'll give him that.
Don't let him listen to this bit.
No. Don't let him listen.
So how did you go in, get to, you've obviously done flyball for quite a while. So how did you get into the judging side of flyball?
Oh, gosh. So obviously, I initially started flyball when it was just the BFA, the British Flyball Association. And then I used to judge under those. So I did judge with the BFA, and that's how I started judging. And it was a case of, I'll give it a go.
Okay.
I don't know what it was about it, but I thought, it interested me. I'll give it a go. And then when we moved across to UKFL, I don't know, I loved it. I came across as a level 2 because I was already involved in judging and quite competent at judging, and then progressed, got my level 3, and then I think I'm quite a respected judge throughout the sport, and particularly through UKFL.
Well, you must be a respected judge, otherwise you wouldn't have, well, firstly being interviewed by us. And secondly, being, obviously, it's probably the other way around for you, but secondly, that you were picked for Crufts. So I'm not sure which one has been better for you.
It's obviously this. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. The cherry on the cake. Yeah, yes.
Absolutely.
So what's your favourite thing you like about judging?
Do you know what my favourite thing about judging is? Probably seeing all the different breeds of dog. And I really like watching the underdogs win.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, it's not all about, for me, it's not all about speed. It's not all about your fastest teams. I really like watching a team that consists of different breeds, not all your multi-mixes, and actually a team that is consistent, does the job, and brings it home.
Nice.
And that's what I like.
Yeah, that is good.
That's what I like.
Yeah. What's the bit about judging that you don't like? Is there a bit of judging that you don't like?
The bit not really. I don't like delays.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really a judging thing, that's more of a host, because you're making me late.
Yeah.
Interference makes me a little bit nervous. When teams try and bring dogs out too early, it makes me a little bit nervous.
Okay, interesting.
But I don't dislike it, I just think it needs managing properly as a judge.
So when you say teams bring dogs out too early, is that too early to race or too early in their career to be in the ring?
Too early. I would say too early to race. So, I mean, it all depends on your training. Some teams don't have the capability to do two-lane training, so they try and bring dogs out into racing, and they've not had the experience of racing like a really fast dog in the other lane. Yeah. And sometimes that'll catch the dog's eye and you end up with an interference.
So, yeah.
You know, it's difficult. Yeah. It is difficult.
But it is, especially for the smaller clubs.
Smaller teams, I absolutely get it. And I would urge teams to reach out to local teams, do dual training.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So with all the judging experience that you've had, obviously, with BFA and UKFL, how did you prepare for your journey into judging at Crufts?
Oh my God. So I got my hair and my nails done.
I had 7 outfits.
I had. Don't talk about my outfits. I swapped and changed my outfits about 3 times.
Did you really?
No, really, I was a complete mess because I didn't really do anything up until like maybe 2 weeks before, and then I thought I maybe need to start doing something.
Okay.
I read the rules.
Okay.
And then I just thought to myself, while I'm sat, if I'm sat watching Crufts, what do I want from a judge?
Okay, that's interesting.
And that is kind of the mindset that I took. So if I'm sat watching it, what do I want and what do people want from that judge?
Yeah.
But other than that, I'd just get my hair, my nails and swap my outfits.
Well, we thought you looked great. So there you go. You had your little cheerleaders in the crowd. So you talked a little bit then about the rules.
Yeah.
You read up on the rules.
Yep.
What rules are actually used at Crufts?
So they're kennel club rules.
Okay, so how does that differ from UKFL and BFA?
So it's kind of, I would say it's probably a mix of both.
Okay.
So obviously you still have the foam top slap.
Yes.
Which we don't have in UKFL, but they have in BFA. You have the wider jumps, which kind of UKFL have had for much longer. Other than that, I would say they're fairly similar. Obviously, there's no false start.
Yep.
At all.
Yep.
In Crufts, you obviously get your warm up and then it's game over.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I suppose it was probably like judging any other competition, other than it's a big arena. There's lots of people watching. The lanes are very far apart.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm judging normally, I can see both lanes and I can identify the faults. At Crufts, the lanes are so far apart that I can't see both lanes at the same time.
Okay.
So I have to rely on my ring pie more so than I would
have to know.
Right, okay, because you're not, you can't see it in the one.
And then obviously you've got the cameras and the glare of the lights.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine it. And you are literally on the centre stage for Flyball that weekend. You've got a global audience watching you, haven't you?
Yeah. So pressure.
No pressure. Yeah, yeah.
No pressure.
At least your hair and nails were done, which is fine.
That's what I...
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I went with.
So, talking about the rules themselves, and it's not like you don't have the false starts. There was a decision, one of the decisions that you made during the racing, I can't remember which teams it was, and neither of them completed, and you gave the win to one of them. I can't remember who was racing.
Yeah, so that'll be Watson's on my left and Storm Chaser's on my right, probably.
Okay.
So why did I award the win?
Yes.
So in Crufts, you can't have a no time.
Right, okay.
It can't happen.
Right.
Somebody has to win.
Okay.
So the reason I awarded to Storm Chasers was Storm Chasers tried to rerun their dog twice.
Excellent.
They made an effort to rerun their dog and it just kept spitting the ball or not taking it clean off the box. Watson's didn't even attempt.
So they so essentially they tried harder.
Yes.
And I guess within the rules of UKFL, that's how you would award the win to a Little League team, almost, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose it would be the same in Little League, at least. Yeah, you tried, but Watson's chose not to even try and rerun their lights.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's why I awarded the win.
Okay.
Because it's not an option. Not to.
So somebody has to win that.
Somebody has to win.
And I guess the reason for that is because you could end up going and
having extra races.
Yeah. Yeah, which isn't good for TV.
TV hasn't accounted for.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that.
That's what it's about.
So what do you think makes a good flyball dog?
Flyball dog?
Hmm.
I think what makes a good flyball dog is having that really good relationship with its handler. I firmly believe that any breed of dog can do flyball.
Okay, good.
And I don't know, it's just got to be fun. The dog's got to enjoy it. The dog's got to want to have a job to do. It's got to enjoy it. It's got to be fun.
Yeah.
Flyball, let's be honest, it's an expensive hobby for you not to enjoy.
It is actually, yeah. It's expensive, expensive in both time and money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot, don't we, trying to keep our dogs fit,
yeah,
the best food, the best supplements, the leads, the collars, the coats.
Yeah. The competition entries.
It's got to be fun.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
So for me, a flyball dog is having that really good relationship with its handler and wanting to do the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not about being the quickest. It's not about being ball obsessed. The dog just needs to enjoy it and the handler needs to enjoy that relationship with the dog.
Yeah. What three words would you use to describe yourself?
I would describe myself.
Yes, you. Because what we're going to do is we're going to ask your team.
Oh, you can ask them.
And they
might be rude.
We'll come up with that at the end.
I would say...
Well, how would you describe yourself in three words?
Confident. Organised. And honest.
Three very good qualities.
That's how I would describe myself.
You've got good integrity.
I like to think so.
Yeah, that's good. Let's have a bash at how you think the team might describe you.
Oh, my God.
And we won't ask your husband.
No, don't ask him. I think they'll say organised.
Okay.
And it's anybody's guess what they're going to say. I honestly don't know.
Famous.
If you speak to Kathy, she'll tell you that I'm really scary, but I'm not.
Okay. That's just the confidence, isn't it?
Yeah. It'd be interesting, won't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me know.
Well, you'll have to listen to find out.
Let me know. Crikey.
The final question that we've got for you is, what can you say to encourage people who've never tried flyball? Because there's some people that are going to be listening to this podcast who've never done flyball before. They don't really know anything about it.
Yeah.
What would you say to encourage them to start?
I would say... research UK Flyball League, have a look on the website, find your local team and get in touch.
Yeah.
Just give it a bell. It's like an additional community. It's an additional family. You will be welcome with open arms. Any dog can play flyball if you just want to build that relationship and have a positive, fun game with your dog.
Yeah.
Find new friends. Everybody says it's really difficult to find new friends as an adult.
Yeah, very. Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, you'll meet, it'll open your world. You'll meet loads of different new people from different backgrounds, different lifestyles. I would just say just do it.
Yeah, yeah, no, really good advice.
Put your anxieties to one side. Make the call. Send the email.
Yeah.
Do it.
Find and it's something, because obviously you've been in flyball an awful lot longer than we have. But it's certainly something that we as Conway Flyball have found, that we have been welcomed and supported and helped phenomenally. Yeah,
that's really what it should be like.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever come away from somewhere and thought either people don't like us. I mean, people laugh at us. laugh with us, maybe, because I know we are, you know, we get up to lots of mischief and things. But you know, we have been welcomed and we've been really supportive. And Cheryl, you have actually really supported us at competitions before, you know, and it's been really encouraging.
But that's what it should be like.
Yeah, and it's been really good. So thank you for that. And
thank you. No, it's been a pleasure.
No, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime.
That you've taken out for speaking to us.
Anytime.
Thanks, Cheryl.
No worries.
How would you describe Cheryl?
Professional.
Organised.
Dedicated.
Independent.
Strong-willed.
Funny.
If you're interested in getting involved in flyball and to find out more about your local team, you can visit UK Flyball League on www.ukflyball.org.uk, or you could go onto the BFA website www.flyball.org.uk.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook and TikTok at the Flying Dogs Podcast.